Thank you. I think I need a one-on-one with these ladies up here afterwards. But thanks for coming. I wanted to start my presentation. I've chosen to compare the Shot of Prevention blogging story with the story of a birth of a baby. And I'm going to admit something to you that not many people know about myself. This is kind of a personal anecdotal story. Before I had children, and I don't know how many of you have children, there's a lot of women in the group, I was terrified, personally terrified of birth. And I was so scared of the actual labor that it almost kept me from having children. I was secretly grateful that my husband was deployed for like 7 or 8 months right after we got married, because I knew there was no possible way I could get pregnant. And the funny thing is that I had to come to the realization that I did want a family, and I was going to have to somehow overcome my fear of the labor. I mean, it wasn't the kids I was worried about. I was actually just worried about the pain, you know. So in overcoming my fear, I had first the rationalization that, you know, women had done this before, like forever. And a lot of them lived in third world countries, squatting in the field with no medical attention. You know, there was no excuse for me not to be able to, you know, do this. So I approached it in a way where I just thought, you know, I have to overcome my fear, and I'm just going to need to educate myself. Because with education, with the knowledge, you know, you feel a little better about what you're doing. So I started reading a lot of books. And I started talking to people who had had children, people, my friends and family members. And so what I realized was the preparation that I did before I embarked on this journey of parenthood, it gave me the confidence that I needed to help succeed. And imagine, after being terrified of labor, I went on to have 5 natural births. Completely natural. And, you know, and that doesn't deserve applause by any means, but it just made me realize that we can conquer our fears. And the same can be said for starting a blog. You might be reluctant. You might be downright scared. And it's okay, because you just are usually worried about things you don't know. And if you've never, you know, if you've had a child yourself, you know that you don't know what you don't know until you actually give birth. And everything everyone told you probably didn't matter, because once you experienced it, then you had the fullness of the experience. So the same can be said about blogging. So whether you're preparing to birth your own blog, or you simply want to gain a better understanding of how blogs are shaping the online conversation, just like we've heard from Amelia and the impact that bloggers have, and also from Katie about the impact of the online conversation. You know, this presentation is intended to give you a glimpse of our own personal experience with Shot of Prevention. And hopefully it'll provide you with some knowledge and confidence if you decide to endeavor on a blog. So the first thing we need to address in birthing a blog is a lot like birthing a child, okay? You have a lot of changes that are going to happen physically and emotionally. And they're gradual and somewhat uncomfortable, but, you know, they keep you wondering and anticipating through the moment of birth. So while you're pregnant, many people, I know I had developed a birthing plan. And this document is designed to communicate a pregnant woman's needs during labor. And usually they share that plan with nurses and doctors, and it's all there to provide a clear, collaborative effort during the labor. So likewise, when you decide to engage in blogging or any other social media, it's helpful to have a plan and then share that plan with other people who can support you, like the people you've probably met here at this conference. So here's the moment that you're working towards, you know, your birth plan, the actual birth. And you might remember this. Okay, and I was actually advised to remove this photo from the presentation because it was a little too graphic, but that's really why, okay, because it reminds us of the joy and the pain that is involved. Look, it's not always pretty. So we have to first stop and think about what a blog really is. Personally, when I first heard blog, it sounded like a derogatory comment that my one kid might say to another, like, you're such a blog, you know. But it's not. I mean, it's not, okay? It's actually, the definition of blog is a blend of the words web and log. So simply stated, it's a journal, like a web page where an author, who is then the blogger, writes occasional posts, which are kind of like articles, which readers can comment on. So the posts can combine text, images, and links to other blogs and websites. The fact is that blogs are a very important communication tool. They are not uncommon for people to have even a blog roll, and that's not a new kind of sushi, okay? It's a list of favorite blogs, so more than one. So people often have a list. Just like you don't have just one friend, you're going to visit lots of different blogs and get different information and different topics that are discussed on different blogs. So as you can see from this slide, the statistics show that blogs are quite influential, and Amelia pointed out, the influence that the mommy bloggers particularly have. So, you know, why are there so many, and why are they so popular these days, okay? Personally, I believe there's several reasons. First, they're authentic. They're written in a style that's different than other news that we get. They tend to be like a diary or a journal. You know, you always want to read someone's journal. You know, you want to get inside their head and figure out what they're about. So they're really full of character. They're also interactive. We all have websites for our organizations, but they are static, okay? They don't create a conversation like a blog can. The blog creates the conversation between the blogger and the readers, and that's what's giving them the personality. And the readers actually develop a sense of community. If there's any blogs that you guys visit regularly, you probably start to know the people who comment. You know their names, and you develop a sense of community there. And most importantly, they're conversational. So that's what makes them very effective in how we share our thoughts and ideas. And when we engage with others, we often communicate what's important to us. You know, what is it that matters to us? Well, when it comes to the topic of immunizations, what matters is preventing disease. What matters is keeping families healthy. In our jobs, we try to inspire action that will protect people from vaccine-preventable diseases. It's why we do what we do. And for most of you in this room, and I would probably say for all of you in this room, immunization advocacy is just a matter of good science. You know, you understand why vaccines are developed. You're aware of the studies that prove that they're effective. You know, you understand that the benefits outweigh the risks. But honestly, you know, these pictures don't scare you. But oftentimes, we don't want to show the public, like, needles and stuff. You know, it might be scary. We don't want to intimidate them. And so, I do have to tell you, though, what you may already know is that it's not always pretty out there. Okay, these are the images that bombard people. And honestly, it's pretty darn scary. We must recognize that in the case of children, you know, vaccination decisions lie mainly with the parents. And their decisions are often tied to fear and gut emotion. And sadly, the research shows that while 90% of the parents are doing what we recommend and vaccinating their children, 50% are fearful. So, you know, it's much like, I was concerned when I was going to be scared about labor. I'm looking for information, and so I'm looking for advice. And what's interesting is, where are they going to get the advice? Where are they going for the answers? And again, what Amelia was talking about going online and getting input from people. We hope that they're going to discuss immunizations with their pediatrician. You know, we hope they're going to go to all these reputable resources that you offer, your websites and, you know, Every Child by Two and the Vaccinate Your Baby website. However, in the age of social media, they often crave this two-way conversation where they can discuss their concerns and get almost immediate feedback. You know, they want that. And so they may be on Facebook or in mommy chat rooms and or their favorite blog. You know, truth is, we have a challenge here. And we have to overcome the challenge. I always refer to this. There used to be a lottery ad. It said you had to be in it to win it. Okay? And it was true. I don't ever buy lottery tickets. So when am I ever going to win the lottery? You know, I'm always thinking, oh, gosh, if I could just win the lottery. You know, but I don't buy the ticket. So if you're not in, you don't buy the lottery ticket, you're not going to win it. So if we're not in the conversation, we're not going to win people over. You know, we can't counter anti-vaccine sentiment if we don't offer the alternative dialogue. The truth is, we just can't remain silent. We need to find our voice. So in the case of Shauna Prevention, we were looking to develop a voice that could offer parents a pro-vaccine perspective, to counter the bombardment of so much anti-vaccine information that's already out there on the web. They may not be looking for anti-vaccine information, they're just looking for information. If we're not there, they're going to find what's there. So we set out to do a few things. We needed to find our voice. We needed to overcome some hesitation. And we just have to refuse to be bullied out of the conversation. Okay, just like McFly, we have something important to say, and we just have to kind of muster up the courage to do it. So, you know, you got to just jump on in sometimes. You got a parachute, you know, don't really worry. Of course, when you're endeavoring on a new adventure, it's natural to doubt yourself. You might have even questioned, you know, before you had children, you know, how am I ever going to do this? You know, can I afford it? What was I thinking? You know, after you're 8 months pregnant, you know, what was I thinking? You know, it's a little late for that, okay? But the truth is, with a blog, you're also going to question some things like, do I have time? You know, do I have the skills to do this? Or do I even have the interest? You know, are you just doing it because everybody says to do it? You know, of course, I'm here saying we're doing it, but that doesn't mean it's right for you. So, you know, with every endeavor, you have questions. And just like you have questions when you're pregnant, you might read books to find out your answers. You know, we're here to help you. And there are so many resources, and people are sharing information. So don't worry about it. One fantastic resource that I have found is the P-Kids webinars. And not only are they informative, but they have some great ideas, and they have connected me with industry leaders that I can go to. I mean, I have an idea, but maybe I don't know how to execute it. You know, there are people out there that can tell you. And for instance, when we, if you're going to decide to do a blog, you might have that simple question, like, what blog platform do I use? You know, or what is a blog platform? These are questions you might have. So there was a specific webinar that walked you through how to set up a blog on WordPress. WordPress happens to be the platform that we use at Shauna Prevention. So, you know, you need to consider how your blog's going to fit into your organization. And once again, I'm going to explain how the Shauna Prevention blog, which is managed by Every Child by Two, and we have a very integrated model that in regards to our online presence and our social media. So each piece of the pie is linked to another. So first, I'm going to kind of fly through some of these. You'll see our Vaccinate Your Baby website, and you'll notice that we have a link to our Facebook page, our Shauna Prevention blog, and our Twitter right there on the main page. We also have our Facebook page, and then we have status updates that also refer people to our website and also refer people to our blog. Whenever there's a new post up, we say, hey, check it out. Come read this. And then we have our Twitter feed. And again, right there, we reference links to the blog, the Facebook page, and the website. Now, the blog itself, we have, on the side section, we have a list of some of our recent tweets. So you can click on that and actually go right to our Twitter page and hopefully sign up and follow us on Twitter. And then also, there is a Facebook badge, which will tell you the latest Facebook update. And then hopefully you'll be intrigued by the update. Maybe you want to join the Facebook community. You can click that link and go right to the community. And then we also provide a list of websites on the blog that are resources that we hope people will refer to on vaccination. And, of course, you know, we list our own website on there. So in evaluating your goals, you're going to need to decide, you know, what you need to accomplish, who you're trying to engage, and who's going to be responsible for all these things in your organization. It doesn't have to be one person. It could be a shared endeavor. And once you've got that decided, it's on to a multitude of changes. And in the beginning, these changes are going to be, you know, the technical knowledge of, you know, how do I actually do this, as well as the time that you're going to devote to it. And you do need to set aside some time. And then who has the skills on your team? You know, does anybody have the ability or even the desire to write? Because that's what blogging is. And then you move in, once the blog is created, you needed to develop the content, you need to make sure you're blogging consistently. People are expecting to have information there when they go there. If they go to the blog and, you know, something's 6 months old, they really don't have much desire to keep coming back. They just don't think it's very relevant. So, and also who your intended audience is. You need to figure that out. And if you're going to do a Facebook and Twitter, and usually those are good ways to kind of break into social media before you venture out to blogging. So then you're on to then, the final stretch, your third trimester, so to speak, and you're going to try to broaden your audience, you know, encourage more participation and just improve things. So I'm going to take you quickly through our specific birth plan. We were started out in October of 2009. It was a community blog. We felt that we needed to offer that pro-vaccine message. But by April, the content was mostly a collaborative effort. So in just 1 month, we had like 6 different contributors. And the great thing about having different contributors is they all bring something different, different content, different readers. And so that helps. You want to make sure you're appealing to a wide variety of people. So at that point, we had about almost 1,400 monthly views on the blog. But sadly, they were probably mostly people like you in this room. And that wasn't really the intent of who we were trying to reach out there. And that's where I came into the picture. I'm a mom to five kids, okay, I've vaccinated them all. So I had that voice that we were hoping could reach out. It also, being a mom to five, I can definitely say that qualifies me as a communication specialist. I have a very varied background, but I am not a scientist. I am, I don't have a personal health background. I'm a mom. So my background is in marketing. So we had to make sure that we approach things a little differently. I couldn't speak from a scientific point of view, but I could address the same concerns other parents were having. So our goals were pretty simple. We just wanted to kind of engage parents. And what I figured first is that we need to listen to what's going on. And the way you do that is usually through social media monitoring. That sounds very, fancy. But basically, you just kind of have to set up some Google alerts, or we used also NetVibes. And it's just a way of searching things that are relevant to what you want to hear about and talk about. And so you could use those services to familiarize yourself with different websites, get out there and read the blogs, set up your Twitter and your Facebook, even if you're not going to engage, just to listen, just to find out what's going on out there. And then just jump on in, okay? So we approached it like I am on a journey. I don't know everything there is to know about immunizations. I don't know much, actually, about immunizations. But join me, because I'm going to be asking some questions that you might want to ask. And that was kind of the approach that we took with parents. So we did our best to kind of engage other people. But there was one question that remained. You know, if we build it, you know, is anybody going to come and listen? You know, that's a big question. And I have to tell you that the short answer is yes. But the efforts that you make are going to determine who comes and when. So in those first few months, I'd do all my work and research and write a post. And then I'd just be kind of sitting there wondering, am I on some deserted blog island? You know, is anybody really reading this stuff? I mean, you just don't know. And I have to tell you, it's kind of daunting at times. You know, I just felt like, I don't know if I was Wilson or the castaway. I'm not sure. I probably was both. So it's not until people start commenting that you really feel like you're making a connection. I mean, we knew we had readers, but they weren't saying anything. So really, truly, what didn't feel like a blog. So this is my pitch for you all to come visit us at the blog and at least just post a comment, okay? Because that's how blogs are often measured. Their influence is measured by how many comments you're getting or how many inbound links that you're getting and people out there on the blogosphere talking about your blog and what you're writing about. Okay, so we put all the pieces together. We needed to do some outreach to build relationship with other bloggers. We also wanted to make sure that we connected with our growing Facebook and Twitter friends. And actually, Twitter helped me connect with a whole bunch of different people. People that I just would search on certain terms, VaxFax is one. And I started meeting, and some of you may be my Twitter followers, I haven't actually seen you face to face. You know, it's amazing how you can develop a relationship with someone you've never even met through these types of social media. And then we needed to collaborate with other immunization partners. We're all in this together, and everybody has different things that they can offer. So, for instance, when the History of Vaccines site was launched, we did a little push for that. Stanley Pocken gave us a guest post, you know, and we put that up. So we intentionally try to highlight various immunization efforts. So if you have something you want us to feature, please reach out, because we'd love to do that. So then our first thing was we did a blogger call, and this is where we were trying to engage bloggers out there. And the intent was really to engage more people in the conversation. Particular focus was on pertussis and the benefits of cocooning. And the draw was we had Dr. Ari Brown, who's a pediatrician and author, and she was kind of someone that people wanted to hear speak. And we also had a parent advocate of someone who had lost a child to pertussis. And the hook was that California was beginning to see a rise in pertussis cases, and Every Child by Two wanted to make sure we educated the public about the benefits of cocooning. So as you can see from this slide, it was quite a diverse group of people who were there. So the benefits were twofold. We established that we got a lot of other people writing blogs and information out there and spreading our message. But we also had a new relationship with some of these bloggers that in turn helped us quite a bit in the months ahead. So then by August, we had posted a kind of hot button issue. I wrote a post as school was starting, and it was called, "Is Your Child's Classmate Unvaccinated?" And it got 1,300 views. So our total views in August had jumped to 2,500. Which was an 82% increase in just 5 months. It may not seem like a lot of people, but when you start from zero, you know, it takes some time. And so by October, we had identified that we wanted to kind of speak with specific mommy bloggers and maybe get them to post something on our site. So someone who was on the blogger call, Shannon from Squidalicious, she is actually a mommy blogger who has a very active group, and they talk. She speaks mostly about raising a child with autism. And she put up, "Why My Child with Autism is Fully Vaccinated." That post alone has gotten over 5,000 views and 583 comments just on that one post. So we learned that, you know, vaccines and autism, that basically gives you some attention, and things can get pretty ugly out there, okay? People aren't always nice to one another. They kind of hide behind just the whole thing that Katie was talking about hiding behind the computer. They have a lot that they want to say. So you want to evaluate your comment policy, you know, what the good parts is, what the not so good. Are you going to allow opposing views? You know, how are you going to handle personal attacks? Are you going to limit the length of comments? And I think I'm probably going over here myself. But remember, your comment policies can change. You need to dedicate some time to moderating the comments. We started out, we had really no comments to moderate. But now I can post something on Facebook, and within an hour or two, I might have 50 to 100 comments. I got to go back. I got to check them. So, you know, realize that with your success, you need to devote some more time. We also have really tried to push for some outreach in the medical boards. We're trying to get a medical advisory committee to help us with the blog. So if you are someone who could contribute that way, sometimes I need it for research. Or we have a lot of people asking questions on the site, so we want to respond to that. So we also did some work with BlogHer, where I was out there promoting guest posts, and this helped because this was a whole new audience of people. We found that some of them were giving us a lot of anti-vaccine. It was a sentiment after I posted something, which was a little uncomfortable, but to be honest, that really helped us to realize that that's where we should be. We need to be out there, you know, in that realm. So that particular post on BlogHer had over 4,000 comments. So we have some initiatives for 2011. We're going to, you know, hopefully get out there and do more. I wanted to see, and I'm not sure I'll be able to get through this, but the I want to just talk about how Facebook has been really critical, because you might want to start with Facebook. And it helped us because we were promoting the blog through our status updates on Facebook. And from April 2010 to March, we've had a 1,073% increase in our Facebook community. They're providing the insight as to what they want to hear about, what interests them, what concerns them. This is all critical for me to develop blog content. And, you know, we use them to try to get other friends and boost our own, readership on Facebook. You know, tell your friends to like us. We have some things going on here. I'm not going to get into all that because I'm running out of time. But Facebook ads are a great bang for your buck. Here are two particular ads that we use. You can spend as little or as much as you like, and they're driving a lot of traffic to our Facebook page, so I encourage you to go there. But what's great is we are mobilizing a community there. That's why I encourage you all to join. You can counter anti-vaccine rhetoric there. They reference links. They're doing our work for us. Unlike what Katie's doing, we have found that our communication, our own supporters are stepping in before, you know, with so much information, we don't necessarily have to do it. We still do have to manage it, though. And I will just kind of click through some more quickly. Realize that Facebook comments post in real time, so you need to make sure that you're there to moderate everything. One thing in particular that we did that I just wanted to point out is that we actually reached, because these comments were coming in so quickly and sometimes people were saying things that weren't so nice, we actually reached out personally to some of our supporters, sent them a personal Facebook message and said, hey, if something's on there that seems odd or wrong, let us know. And they've done that. They've actually sent me a direct message saying, you might want to check this out, because sometimes it happens when I'm not available. So you just want to make sure that you are measuring your success, and you will get to the birthing part. Check your stats. It helps you to know who's subscribing, what they're reading on your post. You know, we're seeing a steady growth, and that's important to monitor your impressions and your feedback. So birthing is just the beginning. Be flexible, live and learn, listen, find your voice. Help us, please, to eliminate the fear. And we can all make a difference. So be sure to contact us. This is social media. This is a social network. And we're here to help one another. So thank you very much.